Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program from my apartment in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, May 28, 2020. A Sudanese diplomat dies from COVID-19.
She have developed some very special relations with Israel, something that is very unique for Sudanese, especially ladies. And I think this is a generation brought up in a culture of boycotting Israel. She developed her relations with the Ugandan government, and especially Museveni.
And some senior South Sudanese government officials use cards to protect them from COVID-19.
But it actually protects you within a certain surrounding. Wherever you are, in a certain surrounding, if there are any viruses within a certain area, then definitely the people are protected.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan is mourning the death of Ambassador Nejwa Gadeldam, an advisor to the Sovereign Council, who died of coronavirus on Wednesday. The diplomat is one of the architects of the normalization of relations between Israel and Sudan. She was Sudan's ambassador to Uganda, who organized a historic meeting between General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in February this year. For VOA News, Michael Atid reports from Khartoum.
Ambassador Abbas is the first high-profile Sudanese government official to die of COVID-19. Abbas served as a Sudan's ambassador to Uganda during the administration of former President Omar al-Bashir since late 2014 until last year. She played a significant role in rebuilding diplomatic ties between Khartoum and Kampala as ambassador to Uganda following years of misunderstanding. During her period as ambassador, Abbas also served as a special advisor to Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni on Sudan and South Sudan. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from Omdurman, Dawood Abdulaziz, Abbas's cousin, says the ambassador was loved by everyone and inspired many Sudanese to do better.
She born and raised in Omdurman. She got all her studies in school until she reached the University of Khartoum in 89, and she was graduated from the College of Engineering Department of Mechanic. That was in 89. She got a master degrees in Germany, and that was in microchips.
Abdulaziz says Abbas worked in many African countries aside from Uganda, including Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, and South Sudan, and strengthened diplomatic ties between these countries.
She's been playing a huge role in fixing so many holes in the relation between Sudan and other countries in Africa and locally and internationally. Mm-hmm. Former President Omar Bashir, he was also asking her to help in fixing some international crisis. And after Omar Bashir, he got al-Burhan also, he did the same.
In February, shortly before a snap legislative election in Israel, the third one in less than a year, Abbas organized a meeting in Entebbe, Uganda, between the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. After the secret meeting, Israel said the two countries had agreed to move towards forging normal diplomatic relations. Only two Arab states, Egypt and Jordan, have diplomatic ties with Israel. Sudanese government ministers insisted they were unaware of the meeting. Protests erupted in Khartoum over the secret meeting. Haj Hamad, a political science lecturer at Khartoum University, describes the late Abbas as a courageous woman. Hamad says getting involved in rebuilding bilateral ties with Israel was a risky move by Abbas.
And she have developed some very special relations with Israel, something that is very unique for Sudanese, especially ladies. And I think this is a generation brought up in a culture of boycotting Israel. She developed her relations with as a Ugandan government, and especially Museveni.
Following the historic Sudanese revolution, Hamad says Sudan has regained ties with many countries regionally and internationally, and Abbas will always be remembered for the role played in restoring those relations.
It seems he succeeded to develop such kind of relations with such communities, and she is trying her utmost best to sell Israel in the region. And through this kind of popular diplomacy, she has tried to make her outreach to the military, who happen to have already relations with, in coordination of anti-terrorist policy of the U.S.
Israeli TV Channel 13 reported Wednesday that the Israeli government sent a plane with medical staff and equipment to Sudan in an attempt to save Abbas's life. She died 24 hours after its arrival. VOA was unable to confirm the Israeli statement with Sudanese officials. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Some South Sudanese senior government officials are wearing devices called air purifying cards, air doctor and virus, which is alleged to protect people from contracting the coronavirus. A South Sudanese company known as AFK says it shipped the cards into the country as part of a $3.8 million contract with the National Health Ministry. The undersecretary in the Ministry of Health says his office awarded a contract for importing ventilators and not air doctor cards. Manyang David Mayar reports for VOA from Juba on the use of this controversial card that has not been proven to cure COVID-19.
The two cards are called air doctor, a blue card, and virus shut out, a green card. The South Sudanese company Ali Faraj Cancer, or AFK Concept, says they are Japanese-made antiviral cards containing chlorine dioxide and are worn around the neck with the belief that it can prevent viruses, including coronavirus. AFK says the Ministry of Health signed a contract with the company to buy the air purifying cards known as a doctor and virus shutout, along with other products, 3 weeks ago. Rabi Bawab is the general manager for AFK.
So we bring for them most of the medical items and non-medical items for protecting from COVID-19. It was three kinds of medical masks, including K95, infrared head thermometers, and sterilizers gun for protecting the rooms, rapid test, and many items, cover suite, gloves, insensitive ventilators, two kind of ventilators. It was a big contract for them. The air doctor or the virus bacteria shot out, it is in all Asia and on all the world they use it as a bacteria protector and bacteria virus protector.
Dr. Makur Koryom, Undersecretary of South Sudan Health Ministry, confirms the ministry signed a $3.8 million contract with AFK to import medical supplies into the country, but says the contract did not include the air doctors and virus shutout cards.
We have contracted them to bring ventilators and testing kits. So whatever other products that they might have brought in, they are not part of our contract.
Ali Faraj Kanso, Chief Executive Officer and proprietor of AFK Concept Limited, insists the air purifying cards were part of the contract.
Cost, it's I think $17, $16, I think like that. Because they have all the certificates.
Kanso says he did not know how many cards the company imported to South Sudan, or what fraction of the $3.8 million was spent on the cards. President Salva Kiir and members of his cabinet have appeared in public wearing the blue and green cards on their necks. Information Minister Michael Makuei says he was given one of the cards when he served on the former COVID-19 high-level task force.
But it actually protects you within a certain surrounding, wherever you are. In a certain surrounding, if there are any viruses within a certain within a certain area, then definitely the people are protected.
Makur says President Kiir and the other officials who wear the Air Doctor cards can decide for themselves whether the cards worked in protecting them against the coronavirus.
They are just citizens of the country. We do not distribute anything to anybody. He's just a human being like you and like myself, and he has that feeling of insecurity and wants to protect themselves. So if there's anything that people think can protect, why not? We have not recommended anything. We are not condemning anything because we don't know.
Dr. Makur says the alleged antiviral cards have not been subjected to any clinical tests in South Sudan and that he could not confirm whether or not they protect anyone from contracting coronavirus. Dr. Angu Godonkwal, the incident manager for COVID-19 at the Health Ministry, says neither the World Health Organization or the South Sudan Health Ministry have approved the cards.
And as the Minister of Health and the WHO, I don't think one time we have talked of something weird. So maybe these people that are fans of what we are doing, so we don't know. The COVID incident manager, I don't have an idea about it. But what I'm saying is that credible messages come through the Minister of Health and the WHO.
In an order issued on Wednesday, Vice President Hossein Abdelbaghi, who is the chairman of the National Task Force on COVID-19, formed a committee to review the Health Ministry's contract with AFK Conserve Limited. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayar in Juba.
South Sudan's Vice President Hussein Abdelbaghi has tested positive for COVID-19. He is the fourth infected senior South Sudanese government official who is speaking openly about his condition. Some government officials who served in the country's high-level task force on COVID-19 and contracted the disease are advising South Sudanese to take the pandemic serious. Defense Minister Angelina Teng says people should report to the hospital once they feel some of COVID-19 symptoms. Information Minister Michael Makui, who also tested positive for COVID-19, says he contracted the virus during meetings of the high-level task force. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Vice President Hussein Abdelbaghi, chairman of the current National Task Force on COVID-19, is among 188 people who tested positive for coronavirus on Wednesday. Abdelbaghi urged the public to stay home, practice social distancing, and to wash their hands. As of Wednesday, the South Sudan government reported 994 confirmed cases, 10 deaths, and 6 recoveries. Information Minister Michael Makwe believes he contracted the coronavirus during meetings of the COVID-19 task force.
I contracted the virus in the course of my duty. We contracted it as members of the high-level task committee. This is why all the members are positive.
Dr. Richard Lako, Director for Policy Planning, Budget and Research at the National Health Ministry and another member of the former task force, says members could have contracted the virus from others because they were not practicing social distancing.
They could also get it from their own homes, and all of them, of course, been mingling with so many people. Some of them attended the funeral of other people, just like this guy of Adie who passed away. Some of them attended that funeral. There is another major. There is a couple of people, families, and they visited.
Makwe says he immediately self-quarantined after learning he tested positive, so as not to infect his family members or others. In an Eid al-Fitr message to the nation on Sunday, First Vice President Riek Machar, who also tested positive and is self-isolating, said people should report to the hospital as soon as they have COVID-19 symptoms. Speaking in Arabic, Machar says people should not think it is malaria, even though some of the symptoms are similar.
If you present with fever, flu, don't say you cannot visit the hospital. Go and ask a doctor to test you for this disease called coronavirus. This is because some people will test for malaria since the symptoms are the same, but when it gets worse, Doctors at the Dr. John Garang Infectious Disease Center will help you.
Machar's wife, South Sudan Defense Minister Angelina Tenney, also tested positive. Speaking in Arabic in an Eid al-Fitr message, Tenney told the public to take preventive measures seriously.
We are in quarantine following whatever the doctors tell us. If they say rest, we rest. We are following instructions of the health ministry and the national task force. You must do the same because once this disease has affected you, you have to protect others from contracting the virus because people have different immune systems. Others will contract it, but they will be fine. Others will be critical and others will die.
Tenney says she and Machar are both doing well. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a new report predicts an increase in the number of COVID-19 cases in South Sudan. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you correct friends and loved ones?
I tell them the truth, because when I hide it, sometimes I have to tell them again and explain, which is not so fun. Yeah, it's easier for everyone.
You tell him what you have done is wrong. Next time, don't do like this, according to what he has done.
The first step I do actually is that I talk to the person. I sit back a little bit to be able to ascertain if it really went down with the person. To give the person a breathing space, just to ponder about whatever I said. And in the course of time, to allow process to have its way.
When they go wrong, I call them aside and talk to them. I tell them their behavior is very bad, so they need to stay away from it. And some of them get angry, but I don't care.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Researchers at the Juba-based SAD Institute say South Sudan government did very little in implementing some of the COVID-19 preventive measures in the country. The think tank is predicting that the number of COVID-19 cases in South Sudan could hit 3,000 in June. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
The report titled "The Nature and Magnitude of COVID-19 Outbreak in South Sudan" relies on facts provided by the Ministry of Health's COVID-19 test data. The report says the preventive measures introduced by South Sudan's former high-level task force on COVID-19 have proven ineffective, as indicated by the rising number of cases in the country. Agustino Ting Mayai, a policy analyst with the SUD Institute, who authored the report, says while some preventive measures like border closures have proven to be effective, the public is not following the health ministry's other directives.
Because if you look at the current data that we have analyzed, having traveled regionally or internationally reduces the infection or the possibility of contracting COVID-19 by close to 80%. And so that's one policy. That policy, it seems to be working. The second policy is social distancing, which the government, which encompasses making sure that people are no longer crowding as they used to in public places and also in private residences. That is the policy that is largely failed.
Mayai says it is obvious the government does not follow its own directives when 30 police officers can be seen loading into a truck to build for 5 to 10 people at most. The report says South Sudanese culture has hampered the government's efforts to implement some COVID-19 preventive measures. The report recommends the government undertake mass campaigns to educate the public about the significance of hand washing, wearing of masks, and social distancing to contain the spread of COVID-19. Mayai says the country's leaders are not setting a good example for the public when they fail to social distance among themselves.
If the leaders who are supposed to protect the public are not able to protect themselves, then you should be worried. Where are we in terms of a regular person on the street? The leaders have the means and tools to protect themselves from this virus. Nevertheless, they're not doing that. they are not being protected, and so the general public is largely exposed.
First Vice President Riek Machar, Vice President Hussein Abdel Baghi, Defence Minister Angelina Teny, and Information Minister Michael Makuei have all tested positive for COVID-19. May I recommend that restrictions on funerals, including burials by family members, and the practice of transporting bodies to villages, must stop.
This lack of social distancing at funeral rites is elevating the risk of contracting COVID-19. So what the government should do is enforce that for any funeral activity, you cannot have more than 10 people attending it.
Maya's policy brief also looks at enacting a total lockdown for at least 2 weeks, particularly in the capital, Juba, to allow the country's COVID-19 task force to focus its strategies on curbing the spread of the virus.
You do that for 2 weeks, monitor it internally, see how we are performing, and then you might come up with another strategy to be able to allow the interaction between the two settings.
But Mayai warns that a total lockdown could prove disastrous, as many people could die of hunger. South Sudan relaxed its partial lockdown earlier this month, opening up domestic and regional air travel, but keeping its borders closed. Mayai says the public laboratory is overwhelmed with hundreds of samples waiting to be tested. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Still on high cases of COVID-19, Kenya reported its largest rise in the number of COVID-19 cases on Wednesday after intensive testings in densely populated urban areas. VOA's Jason Patenkin spoke with journalist David Lomuria about the rate of infection in Kenya.
The implication of this densely populated area like the Mathari and Kibera in these regions is a worrying trend, because these are communities where the social distance has been difficult to really effect. COVID measures have been put in place, but these places are naturally quite crowded. And even within the lockdown, with the cessation of movement in Nairobi, these cases are still rising. In these places, there's danger that this disease could overwhelm the health system.
One thing that Kenyan authorities are doing is asking people to volunteer to get tested. Is this strategy working?
Voluntary testing has its own disadvantage, because not many people are voluntarily going to test.
And why is that? Is that related to the issues of the quarantine centers that Kenya has for people who test positive to stay in?
In the beginning, there were more concerns about paying for quarantine places, because people were avoiding to go there because they thought if they went there, then they could ideally be able to pay for their own quarantine. But I think that was changed when the government announced that government will pay for that. But it goes beyond just volunteering, but also in terms of work, because I think there hasn't been a lot of emphasis being put on employers. We are not seeing what the government is telling the employers to do. Employers keeping those people who get COVID infected? Do they have their jobs? There's also the social stigma around COVID itself, and people have contracted that. People worried about what would happen after they come out of the quarantine facilities, whether they're cleared or not. Would they be able to get back to their work? So I think that in itself is undermining the efforts to voluntarily be able to go and get tested.
That was journalist David Lomuria in Nairobi, Kenya, speaking with my colleague Jason Patenkin. Some women rights groups in the Horn of Africa are calling on Sudan's Attorney General to set up special courts to try gender-based violence. A group calling itself the Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa says, despite the ouster of former President Omar al-Bashir 1 year ago, the new government in Sudan is yet to take serious steps to protect women and girls from violence and other forms of gender discrimination. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Washington.
In a letter to Sudan's Attorney General Tayasir al-Hibir on Wednesday, Ahal al-Karib, director of the Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa, said Hibir should form courts and special police units to deal with the rising number of cases of gender-based violence across the country. She says under the COVID-19 lockdown and Sudan's economic crisis, more women and girls are being abused at home.
We are calling for an immediate response from the Office of the District Attorney to form special courts to address the violence against women and girls that's happening. Women, they have been beaten up, they have been near death. Incidents of sexual violence is increasing by the minute.
Sudan's transitional constitution, which was drafted before the start of the transitional government in August 2019, stresses the importance of repealing laws and provisions that restrict freedoms or discriminate against citizens based on gender. It also guarantees the rights of women in all social, political, and economic fields. Karib says all of that has yet to be realized.
We still have laws that persecute women for claims of adultery, which it makes women survivors of sexual violence very, very afraid of approaching the law enforcement and the legal institution. We still have family laws that legitimizes female child marriage as of the age of 10. And we still have a very solid guardianship laws and policies that blocks women access to employment and to decent living.
Despite the steps taken by the transitional government to ban female genital mutilation and repeal the public order law, which punishes women for dressing and behaving a certain way in public, Karib says much more needs to be done.
The Sudan transitional government take its role seriously in transforming the country into a civil sort of country that has commitment to compliance with international mechanisms and responding to the aspiration and desires of women who fought very, very hard.
Karib is calling on the government to adopt the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women and the Protocol of the African Charter for the Protection of Human and People's Rights, known as the Maputo Protocol. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with Sherhabil Ahmed from Sudan. Listening to Sherhabil Ahmed from Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hand with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. ¶¶